We're going to be in Psalm 78 this morning as we continue our worship of God, now with all of our mind and all of our heart as we hear the word of the Lord to continue to understand how to give him glory because he's worth it. I feel impressed too. I don't know for those of you, I just want to encourage you, it's because of the love and the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not because I was the kid in fifth grade who used to cry when I had to get up in front of the class and give a book report. It's not because I'm naturally outgoing. It's just I found victory. And I was thinking today as you get, I don't know, you guys who've done fantasy football or ladies too, and you got your teams and stuff, and you're all getting ready. And you ever watch a football game, and there's this tight battle, and then all someone scores, and that guy who scores goes like, just lets out this yell of like, yeah, you know? Because the tension has been there, the battle's been hard, and all of a sudden, he won. And it's in us that when we win, we've got to celebrate. And so I want you to recognize that what's going on this morning is not some kind of religious style. It's just people who figured out they won. It's like, yes, you know? Anybody else won? Yeah. All right, just checking if you're out there. So I just want to encourage you. That's what you're seeing. And I just hope you're taking it in and sensing that victory in your own life this morning. Now, because of that, I'm just so refreshed when God's people get together. But in full disclosure, I'm quite sore this morning, physically speaking. And that is because my family and I, we got to go with Terry and Heidi Hucks. We got to go out to their house near this lake, and they tried to teach me how to water ski yesterday. Yeah, can anybody say Advil? Okay. So I tried to go up like 7-8 times, and I got up a little bit, and then I fell, and then I didn't even come close to getting up, and then I got smacked in the face with water several times. It was really an enjoyable experience. My most suave pose was this one. I fell, so that was great. And then my son Caleb, who's 9, got on the water ski, just popped up and just skied all around for a while. So I was like, and I was thinking, you know, I guess that's for the next generation. Okay, we'll just go with that. And it's kind of made me reflect. That experience is kind of what I want to talk to you today about, that I believe God wants to talk to us about. That as parents, with faith, with walking with the Lord, there are times we don't get much above the water of this world. And we don't do a very good job staying up above it. And yet the goal and the promise of God in the midst of our parenting is that our kids can rise above it even better than we did. I mean, that's the goal. That's the goal, to hand them a faith that is not a culmination of how well we have done it, but is a culmination of declaring that God is faithful, that God is filled with grace, that you can count on him. You know, we are very much addicted in this world to the concept of the American success story. Ironically, we're much more addicted to success than we are to family. And so we will shatter family for the sake of success. And yet, in God's eyes, family is much more important than success. And we are in a place where we think our parenting has to be the image of American success, which is, I parent my kids and I get them to be above this world because I have successfully gotten above this world perfectly. I don't fall. I don't do those things. And I just want to encourage you today that your life is a testimony to the grace of God. It is a testimony to that God is faithful, not that I've overcome, not that I'm faithful, not that I'm the hero, but that he's a hero. So I want to encourage you, first of all, parents, grandparents, family members, aunts, uncles, this message, what does it look like to raise children of faith, is something that we need to hear not from the American success paradigm, but from the biblical paradigm, the biblical worldview. And I want to tell you, you know, maybe you're single, you don't have kids yet. Is this sermon for you? It's absolutely for you, because this is the very heart of what we do as a witness for God. And so I want to encourage you that this word is for you as well. So we're in Psalm 78, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. This is a psalm of remembrance, one of the categories of psalms that is there. I'll reference 105 and 106. There are also psalms of remembrance. But listen to what the psalmist says, and this theme is repeated throughout the Old Testament, especially throughout the Bible. Verse 1, give ear, O my God, to my teaching. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open up my mouth in the parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let's pray. Lord, we're asking now that you would move among us, that the very words of Scripture would continue to worship you in this service, as we hear the word of God and now lay our lives open before you, that you may, Lord, change, heal, strengthen, instruct, direct us, for we are yours. Not only us as an individual, we as a family are yours. And Lord, we as a community are yours. Be glorified, King Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, may your will be done. It's in Christ that we ask all these things, and the beautiful sacrifice of love he has given us in the resurrection life through his name we have. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. We have just as a family finished reading the book of Genesis. So Friday we finished Genesis 50. And in this world, there's so much debate about what do I do with the Bible, what do I think about the Bible. The Bible's a rule book. The Bible's a theological book. The Bible's a book of an ancient Eastern culture, all these things. And yet, what I would like to remind you of is if you read the book of Genesis, it's really clear. God, it's just a book about God working with the family. Genesis is just a book about God's plan to bless the world through a family that's super duper messed up. Super duper was a technical theological term, just to give that to you. All right? God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And all those guys, they got a story. And their families? Whoa. All right? Some problems are there. And yet, it's these families that God is working out the salvation history of the world through. It's not American successful families. It's not the Joneses that look like this or those neighbors that look like that. It's through this family that gets it right a little, gets it wrong a lot, doesn't know how to treat each other, and somehow in the midst of all that, God's grace is being perfected. You see, what the Bible tells us is God is a God of family. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who are those guys? Religious figures? No. That's great-grandpa, grandpa, and dad. That's who we're talking about there. And I love at the end of Genesis, when Jacob is about to die and he's got Joseph there with his two sons, I love what he says to Joseph and what he prays over these two boys that are about to be incorporated into the tribes of Israel. He says this prayer. He says, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Wow, that's a prayer. You see, Jacob knows his life didn't begin with him or end with him. God was working way before Jacob ever came. See, I've got this family history, and it's pretty broken. And yet in the middle of it, he's the God who's been working through this family. And life as Jacob saying, as it's finished, bless these boys who are going on, because the story of what God's doing doesn't end with my life. It's continuing on in this family. You see, God is a God of families, and we live in this westernized American crazy culture that, because it's denied the Creator, no longer trusts the created design. And whether that's gender or whether that's family, whether that's what government's supposed to be, any of those things, once you reject the Creator, then you reject the creation design of it, and that's what we see in the world we live in. See, God's a God of family. He made it a reflection of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Isn't there some kind of family language in who God is himself? And God's using families to show who he is, to show grace, to show forgiveness, and to show love. He is faithful. And that's what Jacob says, and that's what you want to be able to say in your family when it's all said and done. You want to be able to say, I did this. You want to be able to say, well, that we won that. You want to be able to say, look what I did. You want to be able to say, like Jacob, whose name was Jacob and then got turned to Israel, because Jacob was, you know, had some very questionable character issues, but he learned to wrestle with God, Israel, right? And in the end he says, look, the God who's always been faithful to me may be faithful to these boys. That's what you want to be able to say at the end of your life. You want to be able to tell your children, you want to be telling your friends, your family members, hey, I don't know if I've got this to give you or that to give you, but let me tell you this one thing. God's faithful. God's faithful. God is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, sometimes we make Christianity way more complicated than it needs to be. We make it very religious when it's really all relationship. We make God about a formula when he's really a father. And then we try to pass on a formula to our kids and wonder why they don't have any interest in the Father. And so your job and mine is not to say, look, I can prove the formula works just fine because of how I live my life. No, what you can say is, I've got a Father who's been faithful to me when I messed up the formula a ton of times. That's what you want to be able to say. Exodus 34, 6 through 7, which is Jesus, but it's God declaring who he is to Moses. So Moses will have it and will pass it on. One of the most important scriptures in all of the Bible. God just says who he is. Look, I am the Lord, I am. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. Some of us need to remember that in this room this morning. He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty, and that picture of guilty is really unrepentant. He doesn't leave the unrepentant unpunished, the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation, always remembering those next generations can know the compassionate and gracious God. God is a God of love and of justice, and he loves people too much not to bring justice, but then we see through Jesus Christ has brought perfect justice that leaves us with mercy, leaves us with compassion. I mean, we have so much to worship, and all of this can be said in a term that I don't know means anything to us anymore in our day and age, which is God's faithful. Like, he's just faithful. He doesn't leave us. He's good. He's always good. He doesn't stop being good. Do we live in a broken, sinful world? Yeah, we sure do. Is that God? No. God's faithful. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, we live in a generation, and even if you are up on kind of Christian culture and conversation, I mean, the latest stats are that a teenager that at least attends church one year during their high school years, that 70% of those, once they graduate high school, stop going to church. Now, the truth is that by the end of their mid-20s, most of them are coming back, but how tragic that in the midst of when they need to know that God is most faithful, are least connected to him. And so what do we do? I'm a parent. You're a parent. You're a Christian who can encourage another person who needs to know Christ, whether you're a parent or not. What do we do? What does the scripture in Psalm 78 tell us? How do we do? Do we teach our kids formulas? Or do somehow we teach them about a faithful Father? And when formulas, I'm not saying, I mean, we should teach them to memorize the word and understand the word. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying a formula without the Father doesn't result in someone who stays faithful. We want to teach them that there's a faithful Father. So what all of you need to do is go to seminary and learn really tricky, intelligent systems in order to do that. No. Psalm 78 lays it out really simple. You see, the first thing we need to do is tell our kids how God has been faithful to us. That's all you got to do. Do you want your child to relate to God as a faithful Father? Then tell them your stories of how God's been faithful to you. Now, it's like, now I want you to think about this. I'm not a prophet, but I would bet your kids don't know 75% of how God's been faithful to you. Well, I know. Yeah, do they know? No, I guess they're my kids, so they should just know. It's like, no, you haven't told them. So you know what you can do to connect them to a God who's faithful and start making it real and not a formula in their life? Tell them how God's been faithful. Tell them the stories when you didn't have a job. Tell them about the stories when you were wondering what you're going to do after school. Tell them about the stories when you had that trip and God was faithful to protect. Tell them the stories. That's all you've got to do. That's what Psalm 78 says. Tell the next generation of the works of God. You know, in my Bible, I've got the margin Bible because I like to write in notes. And part of what I do is, like, I write prayer requests down because one day when my kids get my Bible, I want them to look at that and be like, oh, wow, I didn't know Dad prayed for that, but I remember when that got answered. You know, one of the things I did was I was reading the Psalms of Remembrance, Psalm 105 and 106, and was talking about, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. It talks about remembering. It talks about declaring. It talks about not forgetting. And you know what I did? One day I was just in the bush. I just started writing down how God's been faithful. And I started remembering things I'd forgotten about how God's been faithful. Because I'm so trapped. Like, my mind is a sitcom. From week to week, there's no connection. You know, it's just whatever the new story is. It's like, no, God's not living in sitcom 22. He's like, he's got this story and he's faithful. I began to just write out and I just kept writing and writing and writing because God's faithful. And you know what I realized though? I don't know if my kids know half these stories. So how are they going to know God's faithful in their world if I don't share them? So here's my challenge for you this week. My challenge for every, whether you're a parent or not, you do this with your friends if you're not a parent. My challenge this week, Monday through Friday, every day this week, somehow share with your kids a story of how God's been faithful to you. That's my invitation this week. Somehow this week, Monday, Tuesday, every day this week, whether you text them, whether you Twitter it, some of you just pop it on your Facebook feed, all right? 5 days, every day, give glory to God and just tell him how he, just share a story. Obviously, you do it in a general way. You don't talk about people and names and things like that. And just give him a story that says, hey, I just want my world to know the works of God. So I've got some other things to share, but this is it. This is the most important moment in the whole message. Will you take this week? And every day this week, whether it's if your kid's too young, just tell your spouse, your friends, post on Facebook, whatever you want to do. Every day this week, will you share a story with how God has been faithful to you so that the next generation can remember and know what God does? Will you do it? How many people will do it? Yeah, it's like, oh, Pastor John, don't ask me to commit. Yeah, no, try committing. It's great. You should try it. It's wonderful. Let's pray. Lord, would you help each of us to declare to the world around us that you're faithful? And instead of expecting them to know it and judging them because they don't act like it, would you just help us to change the world, especially our children and our family, by making sure that the beauty of what you've done in our life is not hidden from them, but is declared. We just ask it right now in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Monday through Friday this week. Now, as we do that, we need to not just tell them our stories, but we need to feed their faith through the Word of God. We need to share that there are commandments and laws and teaching and statutes, and they're all about who He is. And our family's trying to, we didn't do a great job with our summer goals, and so we're trying to still be faithful to finish up some reading and some things like that. And we're reading this one book called The Beauty of Intolerance by Josh and Sean McDowell. And he was talking about how every law of God is a reflection of who God is. So that the laws of God are not because there's a God up here who has nothing to do with it. He just wants to see how it goes if you all do that. No, He's actually a God who is all these things. So when you get the Ten Commandments, the reason why you should not bear false witness is why? Because God doesn't lie. The reason why you shouldn't commit adultery is because God's faithful. The reason why you should rest on the Sabbath day is because God's the provider. The reason why you shouldn't steal is because God's good, and if you don't got it, you don't need it. You know, the reason why you shouldn't covet your neighbor's house or this or that is because God's all wise, and he's not planning for you to have life. He's got this life for you. Every law of God is a reflection of who He is. And so the laws of God are actually an invitation for us to know Him and experience Him. And so what we've got to do is, if we want our kids to have faith in God and know who He is, we share the Word of God so they know that. They get a little bit of who He is. We don't have to be a Bible scholar. We just got to keep it simple. I shared in first service, you know, my dad was a mechanic pretty much most of his life, and my mom was a school teacher. I was the oldest of five, and we had a really lean growing up. And my family wasn't around a bunch of times saying, hey, I've got all this free time in my hand. Let's have a devotion. You know, that was not the world I grew up in. But I tell you what, on my graduation from high school, my mom gave me a keychain, a metal keychain from like a Things Remembered store where you etch it in. And all it had on it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Those scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know what? My mom gave me that. I still have that keychain. And it is so roughed up, you can't even barely read what was engraved on the name. It's so worn out. It ain't worn out up here, though. It's crystal clear. Because my mom gave me a scripture that kept feeding my faith when it got hard. When all of a sudden I found out I had to pay my own way through college. I didn't know how that was going to happen. I was like, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your head. I was like, guys, reciting that quick. Because God's faithful. God is faithful. And the scripture tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've encouraged you in the past, you know, be a parent, be a friend that texts a scripture to another person. Hey, praying for you today. Believe in this scripture for you. Just, man, because that's your strength in their faith. It's who God is. It's what He's going to do. And so, parents, you don't have to have some Bible degree. Tell them your stories. And then just take the scripture we use today. Say, that was a really good scripture. What did you think about it? Or like, hey, I'm praying that for you today. That's all you got to do for the next generation to get up a little above the waves of this world and ride it out a lot better than you have. Three, could you get to the next slide for me, Richard? It's my clicker's not working. After feeding their faith, what we need to do, there we go, is we need to lead them in steps of faith. Now, this is honestly going to be very different than kind of the American version of parenting. The American version of parenting is, your job is to make sure your kids have no problems, all right? The Bible says that our life is not about getting rid of problems, it's just having the right ones. Like, you want the right problems in your life. You want the problem of having faith in a big God and calling you to something that you can't quite do, but you're pretty sure God called you to do it. So one of the mistakes we can make as Christian parents is try to use the Bible to take all the tension away from our kids having to live a life of faith. It's like we just, if, you know, that teacher is bothering them or that, we'll just change it all and make it all. It's like, you know, there's sometimes as parents, we've got to address that stuff. But there's sometimes it's like, no, I need to help my kid walk in faith through this. And as a parent, one of the things we want to do is we want to lead our family into steps of faith. Now, that's very much different than the mindset that I kind of grew up with. Well, you know, and my parents loved me very much, but it was pretty much like, hey, if you got a problem, let me know. I'm here for you. Now, you know, God's kind of version of parenting is like, hey, you know, Rachel, Melody, Kate, Caleb, let's go find a problem. Let's go find the right problem to be about. Let's go someplace where we need some faith in our lives. Let's go to Ethiopia for 5 weeks. There's a bunch of problems that we don't need to mess with, but I think God's wanting us to take a step of faith. Let's all go there together and see what God does. Because I can, you know, you're a God who parts the Red Sea, but if I don't get to the Red Sea, I'll never know you do that. You know, and so we've got to be people like, how are we as parents, how are we leading our family into a step of faith? How are we leading them in our tithes and our offering, in choosing the worship of God over the schedule of the world, to make some commitments to give or to serve that honestly create problems in my life and in our family? And I'd have less problems if we didn't do that. It's like, yeah, no, goal isn't not to have problems. Just make sure you got the right ones. Make sure somehow your life is living in a way that says, God's my plan A, and I ain't got a plan B. Like, he's it. He's the God who does this stuff. I believe in him. I want us to believe in him. We gotta help our kids see God do what only God can do. Because how are they ever going to assume he's not more than the formula if we don't do anything that ever has anything more than a formula to it? So, you know, next month we'll be sharing about how in a year, September 2017, we're church planning with Pastor Travis and Brittany. We're super excited about that. Well, you know what? Doing that's just created lots of problems. It's like, how are we going to figure out how to do that? How we got those extra people? How we got the extra money? How are we going to do that? Well, we got time for that. Why are we trying to do this? We got all new problems. And they're the best ones to have. Because I don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't know that the church isn't about building itself up. Church is about giving away to a world that needs it. I told one of my friends, I said, hey, if for nothing else, I'm doing it for my kids. Why? Because I want my kids to see what church is supposed to be about. I want them to see us take a step of faith. How are we going to have anything to worship God about as a church if we don't have a step of faith that says, did you see what God just did? We want to be a church that doesn't talk about only what God has done in the past. We want to lead in such a way that says, God just did. He's still this same God. And we want to be people who are part of that. Leading our families in steps of faith. That's a proactive decision on our part. Although God will pretty much run it right into you if you ask him to. And then just the scripture says, the just shall continually live by faith. You know, we kind of have the Hollywood version of faith, which means I have one big moment of faith, and then I get the girl, and I beat the enemy, and I have the money, and I run into the sunset. I don't need faith anymore. That's not the Bible's picture of Christianity. The Bible's picture of Christianity is I have faith so that tomorrow I can have more faith, because the just continually live by faith. And if you're a parent and your goal is for your kid not just to be good, but to have faith in the living God, then you got to teach them about faith. You got to teach them about, like, hey, I remember when God did this. I remember when we were growing up and we believed for. That kind of faith transfers right over from high school to college with no problem. Formula faith? Yeah, I don't know. I'll just find a different formula. Number four, identify for them steps of faith in their lives. This is kind of wrapping it up right here. One of the things we need to do as parents is help our kids see that the problems they have in their life are opportunities for faith. This is a moment to have faith. Well, just change my teacher, or get me in a different school, or do all this. And again, sometimes those are the right answers. But a lot of times, like, no, how about let's have faith in the God who is good in the middle of all this. Maybe God's working something out. We can trust him in this. Because then they learn to set their hope, not their parents' hope, not their family's hope, their hope in God. And so we want to be parents that as our kids come to us with problems and there are struggles, we don't just say, oh, no, that's so, let's fix this. Why is it? It's like, no, let's talk about the step of faith this is requiring. I asked Melly if I could share this story. We were doing our devotion as we were driving to the lake. So we're doing it, and we're talking about faith in this world and how it's so misunderstood. And there's no, you know, the world says no objective truth versus God is. And so we're talking about different stories of what it's like to have friends that don't believe that God said this is the way. Melly was sharing the story of having a conversation with her friends in high school who were asking her about gay marriage and things like that. And the whole issue of, well, if they're born that way, you know, what's the issue? You know, how do you know that's not right? And so we were talking about it a little bit, and it was kind of a moment. It was a neat moment because God had kind of, as a pastor, I get to work on these kind of thoughts already. I said, well, you know, Melanie, it's kind of who you have, what you have faith in, because the Bible teaches that 100% of us are what? Born with a sinful nature. It's not a few people who are born the wrong way. It's all of us that are born right. A matter of fact, it seems very natural to be that way. It seems very natural to live in a way that is not what God has for us, that is sinful. And a matter of fact, what we have faith in is that we can be born again. Oh, so really the debate's not, are you born that way or not? Really, it's, what do you have? Do you have faith that the gospel is the gospel? That we're all born with the sinful nature and we can all be born again. That's a totally different thing. That's the faith that you've got to wrestle with that others don't have, that you're in the middle of. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, maybe we don't have a clear answer for struggles, but your job and my job is not to say, oh, yeah, that's so horrible, and those people are so bad, and the world's so bad, and this is so awful. And it's like, no, what's the step of faith that a good and faithful God is working out in the midst of what's painful and hard and pretty uncomfortable? Because the Bible tells me, last I checked, that without faith is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Like, don't just seek him on Sunday morning. Don't just seek him when it's a religious topic. But they kind of seek him all the time. Because he's the faithful and true one. And when we do seek him, there's a reward. We want to be parents that teach our kids not to live in faith, but in faith. It doesn't mean we ignore what's wrong with the world. We just talk about a God who is faithful in the midst of it. And so we can encounter and engage those things without fear and with the wisdom and the power of God. God is a faithful God, and he's a God that uses our families. And so I want to encourage you, one, as parents, tell them your stories. Feed them God's word. What's the next one? Help me out, man. I really don't remember right now. I'm just drawing a blank. Lead them in family steps of faith. Hallelujah. And this one's on the board still. Identify. I'll encourage you. You know what? You may not have a track record that says, because of all the things I've done right, now you can be this. Maybe you're like me on that skis, just like, I can't stay up above the waves. All you got to do is be someone who says, you know, my life is a testimony that God's faithful still in the middle of all this. You can rise above. So I'm just going to ask you to stand with me, Lord, speak this final moment of prayer to word to us. I'm going to invite you to take a moment to ask the Lord what he would have you do with what you've heard today in prayer, and make a commitment of how you're going to live this week based on the word. Would you bow your heads? Lord, you are a faithful God, and you have shown us that faith through Jesus Christ. Everything you said about who you are is true at the cross. You are loving and merciful, and yet you are just. We're so grateful for who you are. And as you're praying this morning, you may be here and you have not chosen to have faith in the God who's faithful. You think about him and you're kind of interested and there's some things you think about, but you haven't said, Lord, my life is yours. I believe that you are a faithful God. I believe that forgiveness and peace comes in you. I believe victory and overcoming power comes from you. So this morning, if you've not made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ and become born again, if you feel very trapped and you would swear to me, Pastor Sean, I'll never change because this is my life, this is who I am, I've always been like this. And this morning, you want to be born again by the power and the love of Jesus Christ into a new life, that you can live a different way, be forgiven of the past, and have power for the present. I want to invite you now to just open up your heart. Open up your heart. Let the Spirit of God begin to speak to you. If you would like this morning to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and to be born again in him, I'm going to ask just you lift up your head and raise up your hand and look right at me and say, Pastor Sean, that's my decision today. I want a new life in him. I want to be forgiven of my sins and begin again. Is there anybody who needs to make that decision? Amen. Anybody else who needs to make that decision? Amen. Anybody else this morning? Some of you this morning, you need to have a fresh rededication of your life, and obviously, especially of your parenting. I'm going to invite you, as Pastor Brandon leads us in the moment of worship, would you do that in your heart today?